Welcome to Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills and Doc Turner. This podcast is all about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
Welcome back, BTT podcast fans, and thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Booking the Territory, where we interview current independent wrestling stars and some of your favorite stars from the past. Today, I'm talking to the current heavyweight champion of Ohio Valley Wrestling, Chris Silvio. Yes, I am referring to the former developmental for WWE that was owned and operated for years by the Nightmare Danny Davis. But before we get into the discussion with Chris about what he's got going on these days in OVW, y'all know the drill. I got to say thank you very quickly to our sponsors of the podcast for everything they do to help us out. First off, of course, I want to thank Jason Smith, your trusted Farmers Insurance advisor who works in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and can take care of you throughout the state of Texas related to your auto, home, commercial, life, and health care in the state of Texas. Even if you have Farmers already, you still want to contact Jason for your free assessment and quote. I personally had Farmers as an agent, agency, but that did not stop me from saving $400 a year on my home coverage through Jason with Farmers. So contact him directly at 972-834-2516. You can email him also at jason@goodguyllc.com. If you missed any of that information, just look it up on our Facebook page, Booking the Territory. Also want to say thanks to TNA's Wrestling Palace, which is located in Traders Village in Grand Prairie, Texas, for all of you in the DFW area. They are your one-stop shop for all of your wrestling memorabilia needs. And even if you're not in DFW, they will ship to you. So give my buddy Arturo a call at 469-337-8537. And he will take care of you. That's a fact. Also want to say thanks to Better Choices, which was co-founded by healthy lifestyle coaching duo Eric and Malika Beal of New Orleans, Louisiana. When it comes to healthy lifestyle tips, recipes, meal planning, motivation and support, or personal healthy lifestyle coaching, Better Choices is the vehicle to get you there. Whether your goal is to lose 10 or 100 pounds, they can help you out. The thing is, Eric and Malika not only talk the talk, they also walk the walk. Because for a number of years, they've kept off a combined 300 pounds. So whether you got to lose 10 or 100, give them a call. Contact them on Facebook, Twitter, at Better Choices CEO. They're also on Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest. And their website is www.betterchoices.co. Big thanks to all of our sponsors for supporting the show. I could not do it without them, fans. So please consider them. If you're in the market for any of those things that I just mentioned, I would greatly appreciate it, and so would they. Matter of fact, when you contact them, please let them know you heard about them from the Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast. Now that we got that out the way, remember, please make sure you're following us on Twitter. That's at BTT_podcast. I tweet out all of our episodes. Also talk some wrestling on there. And if you want to follow me personally, that's at Mike504Saints. Doc Turner's a jabroni. He does not do Twitter or Facebook. He says he's too smart and it would make him mentally irregular if he were on those social medias, as he calls them. Also, Facebooking, if you are a Facebooker, so to say, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, give us a like. I'd appreciate it. Also, post everything there for your listening pleasure related to weekly episodes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean.com, or on Stitcher. The thing is, our episodes are up there. If you subscribe, you'll automatically get them on a device of your choice. And please, 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 we are an independent podcast. We do not have shows like or companies like Podcast One behind us. So tell your friends about the show. Shows like ours only grow through word of mouth. We don't have Podcast One, like I said, or any other big name company or corporation behind us. So without you, there is no show. So please retweet our episodes. Tell your friends about it. Word of mouth is how we grow, and we at Booking the Territory greatly appreciate when you help us out in that way, shape, and form. So like I was saying in the opening, this week I have on the current champion of OVW, Chris Silvio. And Chris was a really cool and down-to-earth dude that was kind enough to give me some of his time to talk some wrestling with us. After Chris and I wrap up, it's time for Doc Turner, Hardbody Harper, as long as he doesn't have tech issues like he did a few weeks ago, and I to insult each other as we address your Twitter and Facebook comments from this week in the world of professional wrestling. And don't be surprised, as always, if we go off on a tangent as we sometimes do. For now, I'm going to throw it over to myself and current OVW heavyweight champion Chris Silvio. Hang tight, BTT podcast fans, while I throw it there.
All right, Booking the Territory fans, I got a treat for y'all this week as usual. I have on the current champion as of this recording of Ohio Valley Wrestling. He is the one and only Chris Silvio. Chris, what's going on, man?
Mike Mills, I'm honored to finally meet you. Well, kind of meet you over Skype and be a guest on the show. I've heard so much about it. I'm here live. That's pretty awesome.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I had no clue. I guess I kind of knew that you'd heard about it because I got fans that tweet me. They're like, you got to get Chris on. And I'm like, all right, I'm working on it. So I'm glad you heard about it. Hopefully you heard good things about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, Mike, I got millions and millions of fans around the world, so it's inevitable that at least one would forward me to you and suggest that I be a guest on your fine podcast you have here.
I hear you, man. Well, hey, without any further ado, I won't take up too much of your time tonight. So if we start running long, you just let me know, and we'll cut things short. Does that sound good?
You got it. All right. Hey, pull the damn plug, Mike Mills.
Yeah, pull the damn plug. Hey, so many, many years ago, I actually had a friend of mine who went up to Ohio Valley. His name was Mac Johnson. I started thinking about him tonight when I was going to talk to you. I can't remember the years that Mac was there, probably the early 2000s. So this is a long, long, long time ago. But he and I worked on the indies back in South Louisiana in the mid to late 90s. And so it just kind of got me start thinking about Ohio Valley, and I started looking things up. And I'm like, Ohio Valley had kind of fallen off my radar. But as I'm looking at things, from what it looks like, things are really picking up there, and y'all are doing some good things. So I wanted to ask you about that and kind of have you talk about what's been going on up there.
Oh yeah, man, you're right. For quite a while, it had fallen off the radar, and some of that's for good reason. But business is really, really starting to pick up. I'd say over about the last 6 months, we've just transformed the product into something contemporary. You know, we got some really good core guys there, and just the quality of the matches that some of us are putting on. Honestly, man, I would rank it up there with anything that's happening right now, just as far as match quality. So it's definitely gotten a much needed revival in the last few months, and I kind of take it upon myself to pretty much lead that charge. You know, every time I'm out there, I want to have a main event match that can main event in any arena. So it's really good things are happening, man. And I'm just proud that I kind of get to lead the ship and steer them to something great. You know what I mean?
I do. And from what I hear, I'll mention his name. His name's Kevin Cordell. He always tweets the show, and I got other followers that'll tweet as well. But
yeah,
I mean, for the last. Yeah. Kevin's a cool guy, man. He's always tweeting the show. He listens every week, man. He always raves about it. He's like, man, I went to Ohio Valley this week and some good stuff, man. He was talking about just everything that's been going on. And like, if I live closer, I don't go to many indie shows since I got out of working. But yeah, if I live closer, I'd make one or two every now and then. I'm in the DFW area in Texas, so it's a little ways from here.
Yeah, shit, man. That's a hell of a drive.
That's a haul.
Yeah, if you ever find yourself here, hit me up, man. I'll get you tickets and show you a good time.
I definitely will, man. So, how long? You've probably answered this question before, so you can be pretty brief with it if you'd like. You don't have to give the long version. But how long you been in the business?
I started training in 2001, and I had my first professional match in March of 2002.
Okay. It was, did I hear that right? You trained with Rip Rogers?
I'm sorry?
Did I hear – is that correct? You trained with Rip Rogers or am I
– Yeah.
Am I okay.
I guess you could say I got my doctorate by training with Rip Rogers. I'd been trained and been wrestling for about 7 or 8 years before I hooked up with Rip. But I would say he was a large part in kind of fine tuning. It was all, training with Rip was almost like a finishing school. Like when I got there, I knew, I knew how to execute just about anything. I knew how to get over. I knew how to get somebody else over. But there was a lot of pieces that were kind of missing from the puzzle. And I'd say the most I got out of training with Rip is I learned, how to fill in those blanks. And, you really learn a lot with him about there's always a right time and a wrong time to do something in a match. And that's one of the things that Rip really helped me out with. So, yeah, it was kind of like I was getting my PhD at Harvard by training with the guy. He's fucking awesome. Really good dude.
Yeah. No, I actually had a similar experience myself, so I can definitely relate to what you mean by that when you say someone else kind of I used to use the term polished off, but
right.
Finishing, yeah, same kind of concept. Kind of coming up in the business. I grew up in the territory days, and what I mean is I was a kid growing up, in the late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, the territories were still alive and kicking. So I kind of look back and those are the, I guess, golden years of me viewing wrestling, and for at least thinking that it was quote unquote not a work back then.
Yeah.
But I asked that because I bring that up because you growing up, what organizations were you tied into as far as watching weekly WWE or WWF back then, or were you around during the territory? I don't know how old you are, so like territory days were. Were you watching those things, or how did all that play out when you was a kid as a wrestling fan?
Man, to be perfectly honest, I watched anything. If it had a ring and it had some dudes fighting, I watched it. My family is all from New York, and when I was, I'd say about 3 or 4 years old, I moved to Richmond, Virginia, where I grew up for the most part. And so, New York, you're a WWF fan back in the day, or WWE.
Yeah.
Now. My whole family was into wrestling, so I don't ever remember not watching wrestling. In Richmond, the Crockett's and NWA was a big deal, but I really didn't find out about them. I mean, I knew who guys like Flair and Sting were, but I really didn't find out about that side of stuff, I'd say, till maybe the early 90s. Then once I saw what those guys were doing, it's just another wrestling program to watch. So I was pretty stoked about that. But I'd say for the most part, man, I watched WWF pretty diehard. We had a couple, like, remember when you used to dub any tape you could, like when all people had were VCRs and you'd hook them up to each other and learn how to dub tapes? You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah.
We had,
yep, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, my brothers and I bootlegged like a few, I think like AWA tapes. But other than that, I just watched WWF anytime it came on TV. I wanted to watch it.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I didn't have access to WWE until probably mid to late 80s. Before then, we were locked into Bill Watts' Mid-South, and we got a World Class Championship Wrestling. Of course,
let me ask
NWA.
You, I mean, that must have been pretty sweet to watch World Class in their heyday. I'm a little jealous over here.
Honestly, man, me and my co-host, we talk about it all the time because that was the like golden period from my childhood. And then as I can recall, wrestling in like a pure form, what I mean, like me watching it going, holy crap. I had on, do you know who James Beard is? He's a referee. He actually reffed during that era in World Class and then Global once they started running the Sportatorium. I had him on, and he talked about all kind of stories about, like, Kevin Von Erich, Chris right. Adams, just all kind of good world-class.
I heard those guys got pretty wild down there. I know a few old-school cats that worked that territory, and I heard the Von Erich boys were pretty damn crazy. I heard it was a wild place to work.
I can tell you this. It was pretty wild from everything I've been told. And when I first broke into the business, I met Iceman King Parsons and right. Chris Adams. And I actually worked with Chris Adams one time, it's like 1996 or so, but I have been out with him and God rest his soul. But Chris was when he got to drinking,
he went hard.
He was pretty wild, dude. Yeah. That's all I can say. I mean, it was, he was full bore, balls to the wall. Right. You wasn't stopping him. He was crazy. He was crazy. He was legit crazy, I think. But It was interesting watching that as a kid. The angles, the storylines. I mean, it was the Freebirds and the Von Erichs. It was so hot. I mean, you tune in every week just waiting to see the explosion of what was going to go down.
I remember being a big Freebirds fan the first time I saw him, so I definitely would have been on that if I were out there in Texas at that time.
Yeah, it was. Well, I guess we got lucky, man. I grew up in New Orleans, so it was on Sundays in New Orleans on Sunday nights. But so we got the show down there. The main territory there was Bill Watts' Mid South, which was right. Good in itself. They had JYD, Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, it was excellent. Terry Taylor.
Yeah, Cornette with the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express were there. Just real, really solid wrestling. Just good angles, good stories. Just really, really good stuff. So definitely a good territory to grow up in. But it's funny because, like, you talk about WWE. Man, I didn't get I don't remember WWE until, like, 1986. Like, that's crazy as that sounds. You know, like, I had 11 years go by in my life before I ever got exposed to it.
I mean, I don't think they really got over the top and groundbreaking until after that time anyway. I mean, you had the famous title runs. You know, you had Bruno's long-ass run. You had Backlund had a good run, the infamous Superfly off the top of the cage deal.
Right.
But, I mean, it was after the whole expansion where, you know, I guess most of the moments that people now remember took place, so... But it wasn't that exciting until that time when they had pretty much every star in the business.
Yeah, actually, and that's funny because that's actually around that 85, 86 time frame, I think, when it started coming on syndication in my area was when the whole Hulkamania craze was, you know, taking off or just taking off or whatnot, or maybe it was in the middle of that. I get confused on timelines, but that's actually when it was just starting. So, yeah, that's a good point. Like, I don't remember – you know, the whole Backlund and Bruno and all that. That was it. Wasn't quite before. It was a little bit before my time, but
definitely
yeah,
before my time.
It. Yeah, I don't. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 31 years old, my friend.
Oh yeah. that was you got that right.
Fuck.
Yeah, dude.
Child.
You were young at that point. No, but the world class days. If you could go back in time and watch that, you would thoroughly enjoy it. It was funny because James Beard was talking about it with me, and I had asked him a question about some of the matches that I'd seen as a kid and even grown up between Kevin Von Erich and Chris Adams. He goes, man, those two dudes were getting there, and they were always shooting. Because I told him, I said, man, it looked like a shoot. He goes, dude, they shot all the time, more than you'd ever realize. So it's good stuff, man. It was really good to watch that. But, hey, back to you. How long you been up there with OVW?
Off and on. I moved out here in June of 2007. So I've been with the promotion off and on since then. So what's that going on 8 or 9 years close to?
Oh, that's a long time.
Been a hell of a time. I mean, I haven't been there consistently all the way through. I kind of look at it. It also depends on, you know, where you're getting work and what opportunities you have at the time. But I've always kind of looked at that like, you know, you really can't wear out your welcome in one place. So when I kind of feel like, you know, things might be getting a little bit stale or complacent, you know, I'll pack up and get out of Dodge for a while. Because the last thing you want as a performer, what OVW does that a lot of people don't realize is it's truly – about the last territory type of place, and it's a weekly town. So you got to think, man, these same people, and you know, guys will get their friends and some other people to show up to the shows, but for the most part, it's the same core audience that's there every week throughout the whole year. You know, so there's only but so many times you can do one move or you can do one angle or something like that. So a place like that, you really to stay over, you really got to be good and test yourself. So it's definitely a challenge creating something new and different to do every week. But, yeah, when I feel like it's time to bow out for a little bit, you know, I'll take my services elsewhere. And when the moment's right, we'll come back and do something cool.
I hear you. You're right about that. It keeps things fresh, man. If you're the same place, and that's actually how it was in the old days, the territory days. That's why guys they'd be in a territory for a while and then, you know, they'd be there for so long, and I don't want to say it wasn't that they wore out their welcome or anything. It just was, it was time for a fresh face and time to go see a new audience, and you moved, and then oftentimes you came back. It was it was a rotating deal. That's how it worked, and it was very successful at that time.
And
so I can definitely see.
Sometimes you go out on top, too. You know, if the last thing they remember of you is kicking ass and being the top guy, and you know, you bow out at that point. When it's time to make a return, that's, you know, you got that lasting impression. So
it's true.
Cool. It's really cool that you know, some of the opportunities that have been presented to me, and I'm, you know, definitely feel pretty privileged to experience a lot of things that I have.
Who have you crossed paths with, like, in your time there? Have you crossed paths with, like, people like Jim Cornette? Because I can't remember when. Oh, yeah, okay. I don't know when years he was there and whatnot, yeah. So that's why I'm asking.
Cornette, I considered a mentor of mine for quite a while. I worked with him for the first time in 2010. It was
okay.
Around the time when he was producing the Ring of Honor show. And ROH was coming to Louisville for a house show, and they were going to kind of test out the market and do a set of TV tapings. And this was the first time I met Jim Cornette. He worked something out with Danny Davis, and Danny said, "Hey, give Chris a chance. You know, I think you'll like his work." I was wrestling as Susio at the time, and I had a tag team partner, a team called Fighting Spirit. So we ended up getting placed on that on the Ring of Honor house show, and we kicked ass. It was us against Ted McNaylor and Adam Revolver, who were wrestling as the Elites, myself and Rafael Constantine against those two guys. And we just killed it, man. I mean, we were ready. We were so pumped. I was in, you know, the best shape that I'd been in up until that point, both my build and my in-ring cardio. I was just a machine. And we all went out there and we killed it. And, you know, the next week, Jim Cornette actually took over the book at OVW. So it was kind of cool that his first impression of me was just going out there and having this sick match. So I think that the first OVW show that he booked, I want to say I main evented against one of the guys in the Elite. So I learned a whole lot working with Cornette. And one thing that most people don't know this, so I'll give him all the credit for. We had a lot of guys at the time with one word names. Like, I wrestled as Susio. You know, there was Fang there. There was Paradise, Lowrider, Moose. Cornette came in and he just thought it was the funniest thing in the world that people had all these one word names. So he's like, "No, you got to have a first name and a last name." And at this point, I'd been Susio for going on 10 years. So I remember just going home and writing all this shit down and trying to play with different name combinations. And I'm like, well, you know, I've always been under the impression that the more like yourself you can be in your persona, if you want to call it that, the more it conveys to the audience. So I was just kind of trying to figure out a way to be myself with the dial turned up. Like, well, my name's Chris. Okay, they'll call me Chris. I can work with that. And I stumbled upon Silvio. It sounded kind of similar to my old name, and put together a little gimmick, and it worked. And from there, you know, I just did my job at OVW every week and went out there with the mindset to steal the show and have the best match. And I ended up getting, you know, a good opportunity with Ring of Honor for about a year and a half. And, you know, I mostly have Jim Cornette to thank for that. Cause he vouched for me and, you know, got me in, and I had a lot of fun working those Ring of Honor shows and learned a lot from him. So yeah, I definitely have a pretty long history with Jim Cornette. I do have a pretty funny Cornette story while we're on that too. So
yeah, go ahead, man. Yeah, that's the type of stuff I like to hear on these shows, man.
So everybody knows that Jim Cornette is a notorious hothead. Are you aware of this?
I kind of gather that from he's actually one of the podcasts that I actually listen to, and I catch his show weekly. And yeah, he's let me just say this: when he gets going, dude, he lets it fly. He ain't holding nothing back. But go ahead.
Yeah, the thing with Jimmy Cornette, bro, is he goes from zero to piss the hell off in a heartbeat. we were working a TV taping, a Ring of Honor TV taping in Charleston, West Virginia, I believe. And I hate being late for anything. And I remember we got caught in traffic or something, so I was worried, you know, and I'm working at this place and I'm not trying to get heat or get a bad rep for being the guy that shows up late. So anyway, we finally make it like just in time. And as we're walking outside the building, I ask somebody, you know, where Cornette is, and they point around the corner. And when I come around the corner, I just see Jim Cornette screaming. And he proceeds, he grabs his cell phone and he hurled it like Nolan Ryan throwing a freaking fastball. Phone shatters like on a production truck in a million pieces. He's turning all these expletives, F this, F that, you stupid MFers. Turns around without even a second of hesitation. Oh, hey, superstar, how you doing? Gives me a big hug. All right, tonight you're going to be working the Briscoes, and you guys are going to do this, this, and this. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen, but that's Jimmy Cornette for you.
Dude, he does that all the time on his podcast, all the time.
His
same
blood pressure
thing.
Must like, be through the roof.
I swear sometimes he's going to blow a gasket. I've never met him, but just listening to him, he's like, I mean, he kills me because he gets into that thing and he goes, oh, God, for fuck's sake. That's his, like, line. And I'm like, oh, damn, it's about to hit the fan. His blood pressure's about to skyrocket. And then he'll calm down, but he's very – I only wish I would have met him during my time when I was working shows and just to get that knowledge from him because I know it's he's got an encyclopedia up there in that brain of his as far as what to do and what works and what makes money. And I don't know, it just seems like a funny guy. Not only a funny guy, but a knowledgeable guy that would be cool to be around. Yeah. So,
and I steal shit from Jim Cornette all the time. You know, if I'm
angles
or you know, I'm trying to book a show or something like that, I'm going, you know, I got all this stuff in the bag of tricks. A lot of that I learned from Cornette.
Cool. Nah, I don't blame you. I definitely leverage that, as they say. You know what I mean? Use it. Hey, you got your own promotion too, aren't you? Don't you? You still doing that?
Yeah. I run a basically it's a events promotions company called Round Peg Promotions. This last year we did about three pro wrestling productions. One of which was a festival themed kind of event where we had live music, we had strippers and one of those bull riding things and volleyball and stuff like that. We just kind of made this cool Saturday all day long party that featured just some really, really cool guys. I actually had a killer match on that card with Sabu. We had a lot of big names on there and the best local talent. So that that was really cool. Other things we do, we kind of help out. I help out from a booking standpoint of some wrestlers, just kind of serving as like a booking agent, things like that. You know, we assist people with marketing needs, things like that. So it's been a good first year. You know, it's still building. We're very, very young. We, you know, really didn't start doing business, I'd say, till about March of this past year. But yeah, it's a good time and, hopefully nothing but good times ahead.
And it's, what's the name of it again?
Round Peg Promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at @RP_promotions or Facebook at Round Peg Promotions.
Round Peg Promotions. Y'all heard it there. So make sure y'all check them out on Twitter. Hey, where, besides OVW, where else, you pretty much, work in many other places these days throughout the week and on a weekend and whatnot, or?
Yeah, it depends. I don't do a great deal of travel right now. I'd say the majority of my work is confined to this area, like Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, that kind of area. I did a small tour. I was just in Minnesota, not last weekend, but the weekend prior. Did a shot in North Dakota. So, you know, I kind of bounce around a fair bit, but I try not to go too far, you know, away from Louisville unless it's, you know, it's going to be worth it. And, you know, to be honest, a lot of shows just aren't worth the hassle involved with getting all the way out to the booking, you know. So if it's good and it pays well, I'll be there.
No, I can relate. You hit the nail on the head when you said if it's worth it. If it's not worth that long drive, because I, you know, a lot of people, they don't realize it. The life of an independent pro wrestler. I worked full time, obviously, still do, but while I was wrestling, and man, you cram yourself in a car with a couple of guys for all those hours. That's a job in itself.
What do you think about this? You know, shit, I've been wrestling since 2001, but before that, I was an amateur wrestler. I wrestled pretty much my whole life, and I had older brothers, so I got my ass beat constantly. By 31 years old, man, I've taken so many damn bumps. I am not trying to be in a car for
right.
12 hours at a time.
Right.
You know, my wife, she's English, and when we go home to England to visit, you know, my in-laws and stuff, I always, like, have to try to finagle my way into getting, like, exit row seating, and I splurged for first class one time, and it was awesome. I had about 15 mimosas. I was waiting for them to cut me off, and they didn't do it, so it was pretty sweet. but, yeah, even on, like, a ride in a plane, man, I get uncomfortable. My knees start to ache. My back starts to ache. And, you know, I'm in good shape. Otherwise, I can still go out and whoop ass, and I'm, you know, pretty healthy dude, but just sitting like that, man, it doesn't do good for the back. So I'm definitely not trying to screw myself up for a shit payday.
No, I agree. I can remember taking a trip to Virginia when I first started in the business, and I don't even remember the town it was in, but it was like an 18-hour drive. And,
yeah, I've been there.
And at this point, man, I'm 20 years old, so, you know, ain't no big deal. But damn, I'm like, whoo, this is a haul. Yeah. And you know, and the older you get, you know, it's harder. It's harder to take them drives. You really got to be, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. It's got to be worth your while. Otherwise, you're like, man, I don't want to be in this car for, you know, 10 hours, and I'm crammed in here with 2-3 other guys. Right. It's just, oh, God. I can relate.
Buck, man.
You're right. But, you know, I wouldn't, honestly, man. I don't want to say I was broke back then, but, you know, I was not doing financially well, but it was without a doubt the funnest time of my life.
Oh, yeah, man.
Working the indies, having fun, going to towns, you know, kicking it with the guys, meeting the people that I met. I really had a good time. Really, really had a good time.
There's no shame in being broke. I've been broke many a times. It's
yeah.
It's funny, you know. Now I'm at the point where I'm fortunate enough to live a very comfortable life. I got a lot of business ventures working in my favor. And I'm performing at the best level I ever have. But it's like something I'll tell my wife about sometimes. Like when we're planning to do certain things, I just always say, you know, when you've been broke, when you've been poor, you never really lose the poor mentality. Like, I can remember, like, coming out of a grocery store or something like that, and I don't see my car, and I knew I was late on the payment. I'm like, oh shit, did they repo my car? So even now, you know, like, a few years later, you never lose those, like, poor man things. She always laughs when I talk about it, but
yeah,
ain't no shame in being broke. But thankfully, life has worked out pretty well. So happy to be here kicking ass on this wonderful podcast with my boy Mike Mills.
Hey man, I appreciate it. I was like, hey, when I emailed you. Like I said, Kevin been telling me I had 2 or 3 other people in the last, when my podcast launched, I had a couple of people telling me, yeah, you need to get the guy from OVW on. I was like, okay, and I'm just getting it started, so I got all kind of stuff lined up. And, like, actually, as we're recording this one, this thing probably isn't going to hit for a good 4 to 5 weeks because I got so much stuff recorded already.
Right.
But I definitely wanted to get with you. And I'm like, man, I got to get him. I got to get to him. And then I just so happened, I was sitting there one day and I was on Twitter and I saw you tweet something about it. I'm like, you know what? Let me email him. I said, and you email me back right away. And I'm like, cool, man, I'll get you on. Let you talk, tell your story for a little bit. What's going on up in OVW and otherwise. And I just really enjoyed you joining me. I got one more question, man, before we take this thing home. So I had no idea until I was getting ready for this show that you actually had your own podcast or have your own podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. You still doing it? Or because I saw it, that the last one was a while ago. That's why I'm asking that question. So I don't mean anything by it.
No.
I saw that and I was like, dang, he had his own show. It's pretty damn cool, man.
Yeah, man. It's on a hiatus. I won't say the show is done or anything like that. But just to be perfectly honest, I've been so incredibly busy over the last, I'd say, about 16 months with traveling, starting my own business, wrestling and things like that, and helping out on the booking end and stuff. I just really haven't had the time to invest in it. And when I do anything, I don't want to do it half-assed. If I'm going to do something, it's got to be done right. So as opposed to just kind of forcing myself to put something out for the sake of putting it out, I want to put out a quality product, whatever it is that I'm doing. I'm not going to say the show's done for. We're just we're on a hiatus at the moment, but we will.
Do you hear the Nick? I love when you said, you know, the time, because I actually get tweets about, like, people say, won't you do a second show each week? Because I only do one a week. And the show consists of usually an interview, well, 99.9% of the time. I got an interview on, and then me and my buddy, Doc Turner, we do like a review portion. We take the Twitter questions, Facebook questions from the listeners. I don't know if you've heard any of them, but we do that. And then we'll, you know, basically we discuss what the fans want us to discuss. We don't come up with the topics. We let the fans do it. I let them get involved. I'm like, you know, I want to hear what they think, and then we'll discuss it. So, but I get tweets and whatnot and messages on Facebook. Hey, why don't y'all do another show? You know, dedicate like maybe one show for WWE and one for TNA. I'm like, man, I'm married. I got kids. I got a job. It's hard enough to produce.
You might feel.
Hey, no, on the real, man, my buddy that does a show with me too sometimes, he goes, man, I'm a grown-ass man. I ain't got time for – but no, dude, I like what you said. People don't realize how much time it takes. It's not, I mean, yeah, you sit there and you hit the little record button, but, dude, it takes time to put that thing out there and package it up and put it on Podbean or wherever else you're doing it and get it out there. Plus, you know, I try to halfway do some research before I start talking to a guy. I don't want to just, hey, how you doing?
Right.
You know, type situation. But no, man, I found it interesting that you did your show. It's good to hear that you're gonna, you know, pick back up as soon as you have some time, because I didn't even realize you had one, and I started going back. I was like, man, he's had some pretty good guests on here. Obviously, you got some good connections with guys like Cornette and whatnot. That had to be an entertaining show. I think I'm going to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, check it out. I do it all, man. I'm a modern-day renaissance man.
Hey, and nothing is wrong with that. No. So big dream – I ain't going to ask this question because it's a stupid one, but I'm going to say I'm sure you got big dreams. That's a statement more than a question.
Right.
As far as if WWE called, obviously I would assume you would not turn it down. And I thought it was interesting. I did not know about the whole Ring of Honor that you worked for them. How long did you work for them?
I'd say from July of 2010, I appeared regularly on house shows and Ring of Honor programming till December-ish of 2012, so a year and a half, something like that.
A nice little run. I mean,
I had some fun.
Yeah. I mean, would aspirations to go back there or, you know?
Under the right circumstances, sure. It was a different time when I was performing up there. It was a very tight-knit group, I guess you could say, and it was at the time where the Wolves were still there, Aries was still there, basically had all these core Ring of Honor guys that were core.
Gotcha.
The Briscoes, all these guys, that they are the guys. And they weren't really bringing in too many outsiders there. So I would say, you know, at that time it was kind of tough to break past the barrier because they had all their established guys in these matches. Nonetheless, man, it was a good ride and a great learning experience. And, you know, I got better from being there and I learned from a lot of great people. So I got nothing but good things to say about that.
Cool. No, I actually, we just started getting Ring of Honor TV down in, believe it or not, in Dallas, like, I think it was April of this year.
Right.
This is, I mean, it's relatively new to the market as far as the I mean, I know you can get it off the internet. I'm just saying, as far as on regular television syndication. So it's pretty new to the environment here. But man, glad to hear that. I'm actually a fan of theirs. I don't watch it every week. I won't sit there and lie, but I'm a fan. I like what they do. I think it's a nice alternative to WWE.
Absolutely.
And what's going on there and any other places. And I hate to sound like JR because I've heard him say this a million times. I like the fact that there's just more promotions than just WWE because, you know, there's guys out there and they can get out there and earn a living doing it. That's nothing but a positive. They can get out there and learn their craft.
It does nothing but help the business. The more places that guys can actually go and work, you know, it's better for the fans. The fans have an alternative, and it's better for the boys. That's what I always tell people. No matter what it is, support wrestling. We all love it. I don't care if you're going to the independent show down the street or you're going to see Monday Night Raw, just, you know, supporting it and having more options and alternatives, it's good for the business in general. And I really think kind of the way things are going right now, you know, with Ring of Honor, with NXT, TNA, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, a lot of the larger, some of the UK promotions. They're just going in a new cool direction where you're seeing all these different stars and, houses are starting to pick up. People are starting to make a little bit of money again. So it's kind of an exciting time.
I agree. I like the fact that there's a lot of these indies out there that are doing well, not just like the Ring of Honors and whatnot, but I see these indies and they're drawing good houses, yeah. And it's good to see. There was a time when, the indies, even, they'd book really good talent and people just weren't coming out to see it for whatever reason. So it is
really
good to see.
Really bad. And, there's still a lot of bad shit out there like anything else.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's definitely picking up.
I agree. Hey, so before we get out of here, man, because you've given me a lot of your time, and I greatly appreciate it, Chris. Tell the fans where to find you, and like Twitter, Facebook, if you got that, and all those other things. That way they can keep in touch with what's going on in your world and up there in Ohio Valley.
Yep. Check me out on Twitter at TheChrisSilvio. I'm on Instagram at TheChrisSilvio. OVW at OVWrestling.com. And, while I have a second to have a platform to talk on, I do urge anybody that's listening to this program, kind of like you said earlier, Mike, seemed like OVW kind of died off for a little while. And in fact, it did in a lot of ways. I urge anybody out there listening right now to come and see what I'm doing right now at OVW and what some of the hardworking guys are doing right now. We're having some dynamite matches. I'm having some matches that I feel could main event anywhere in the world. And we're doing some different stuff, and it's just a great time to be a fan of OVW or to be a wrestler there. So I urge everybody, check them out online. The TV shows are up online. But really check out the Saturday Night Specials. That's kind of like the monthly pay-per-view. They're available on demand for 99 cents each. It doesn't get any cheaper than that. Check it out. Give me your thoughts. Feel free to tweet me. Tell me if you think it's the greatest thing ever, the shittiest thing ever. Doesn't really matter. Just watch it. I urge everybody to check it out if you're a true wrestling fan, because there's some awesome stuff there, and unfortunately, some people don't get to hear about it. So while I have this platform, check out Chris Silvio, because he is the shit, and check out what the boys at OVW are doing.
Y'all heard it here first, man. Hopefully. Well, maybe not first, but y'all heard it here. Make sure you check it out. I know, and you can go on the website too, and aren't the weekly TVs?
Yep.
Those are not. You don't have to pay for those. You can just get those, right?
Watch TV every week. Watch the whole month. Yeah. Watch the whole month in a row. Then for 99 cents, you can watch the payoff of the Saturday Night Special. Don't get any better than that.
There you go. So you get a whole month. You get about 4 hours of wrestling. I assume the weeklies are an hour on the online. Is that about right?
Okay. A buck.
For a buck. For one buck. One buck, man. It doesn't get much cheaper than that.
It's a little bit more than a buck, but hey.
Yeah. You know how. Hey, well, I'm gonna stop this recording in a minute, but Chris, hold tight for me 1 second when I do stop it. But there you go, fans. It's Chris Silvio. Follow him on Twitter. He'll tweet you back. Check out OVW online. If you're in the area, go see him in person. They got some good stuff going on there. And as they bring OVW back, and they're doing some great things. So, Chris, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Mike. Peace.
All right, BTT Podcast fans, I hope you enjoyed my discussion with the current champion of Ohio Valley Wrestling, Chris Silvio. A couple things before we get into the rest of the program, where we're going to talk about your topics and questions from the week that was in the world of professional wrestling. Please rate us on iTunes or Stitcher, whatever one you're using. I don't think Podbean allows a rating. Thing about the ratings are, the more ratings we have, the higher our show rankings are, and we come up in more searches. So please give us a rating on iTunes or Stitcher, whichever one you're using. Give us a 5-star. I'd appreciate it. Doc Turner would appreciate it. Even though he's an ass, he still would appreciate your 5-star ratings. Hey, look at it this way. If you're rating Doc Turner on being an ass, he's a 5-star all the way, so keep that going. Well, those who have already rated us, thank you very much. If you have not, hey, take 2 to 3 minutes out of your day and give us that 5-star rating. And let us know that you appreciate the show. Also, still doing the donations, man. Like I said, all it does is help us offset production costs. So if you want to do it, mikemills.podbean.com. Just click on the donation link that's there. I also have uploaded all kind of other stuff as far as past guests goes. Recently, check out my buddy Nick Jason Lopez with his ProWrestlingOpinion.com columns. This dude's got a lot of time on his hands because he writes a review for Raw, SmackDown, TNA, Ring of Honor. He does it all. Doc Turner's jealous of him because he doesn't have that kind of time on his hands. And then last thing, I want to thank the sponsors again, Better Choices, Jason Smith from Farmers Insurance, and Teenage Wrestling Palace for helping us with the show. Remember to send us those Twitter and Facebook questions, Twitter at BT underscore podcast, at Mike504Saints, and then Booking the Territory on Facebook.com. All right, so Harper, what's going on, man? What's up, my fellow depressed member of the great Who Dat Nation?
Well, that's sad, huh?
Bruh, I'm fucking depressed, man. But you might want to put me on fucking suicide watch.
This is like pre-Katrina Saints.
Oh, dude, this is... Bruh, you know it's so bad, you just watch it and you laugh.
I can't laugh. I just say, screw it. I'm just going to call up Luke and just go to the gym.
Let's go work out. Yeah. Let's work out. So, Doc, what's up with you? I mean, you're pretty miserable these days. Ain't that right? Doc? Okay, so he's going to ignore me. Doc, come on, man. I know I didn't lose this asshole. He's ignoring me. Oh, screw him. We're just going to go with this show. I think he accidentally muted himself.
Yeah.
Probably so.
Hey.
let's just go with this show.
Hold on, guys. Hey, I'm back. I had a couple of bitches that had some questions. I had to get them straight for their night's work. So I heard you saying something about the Cowboys, man. We're flying high.
Yeah.
This week.
You're flying so high that you came to me earlier today and was like, oh, brother, we need to have a discussion. You know, last time the show, we kind of got off the rails with things, and we got off the topic of professional wrestling. We probably talked too much a little bit about football. So you think maybe this week we can stick to the topic at hand?
I didn't say anything about sticking
to the topic. I guarantee you the only reason you said that shit was because your Cowboys got whacked.
It's garbage.
We got beat by the best team in football, by the defending Super Bowl champs, with our backup quarterback and everybody hurt. That's fine, but we got a good week ahead. Trust me.
You're fucking dreaming. But anyway, we need to get to these questions because we've already been rattling for 4 minutes so far over NFL work.
Well, and let me tell you guys this. We're a little bit late getting started tonight because apparently the only internet service in New Orleans is two cans and a string between them.
Hey, look, bro. I got Windows 95 still. Leave me alone.
Only motherfucker in the world that's got DOS-based internet. God dang.
Harper's operating system. Harbody Harper's operating system is so old. You don't even need like McAfee or WebRoot for a virus because they're not even writing viruses for programs that old anymore.
Got that Windows 96, dog. 98.
That was legit, man. Yeah. That was the stuff back in 95. All right. Harper, I'm going to have you hang tight for a second because one of our listeners a few weeks ago, he got kind of pissed off at Doc Turner because Doc Turner got on me about, not evidently watching Ring of Honor for 2 weeks straight. I mean, grown-ass man, dog. I got kids and stuff. Can't watch wrestling every single week. You know, it's hard enough to catch 3 hours of Raw, much less, you know, everything else. So our buddy at THOG94, he's got a little quiz for Doc.
Oh, a quiz.
So, Doc,
let me get Can I sharpen my pencil first?
There you go.
You're a doctor. You're supposed to be smart. You're supposed to be able to use your goddamn brain. Dumbass. Anyway, first question from THOG94. Tell me what you think about my boy Donovan Dijak. How far can he go, and what does he need to work on? He's a local talent that I've been watching before he was with Ring of Honor in 2015, and he's a top prospect, and I just want an outside opinion on him. Go, Doc, in less than 60 seconds.
Shut up. So first of all, you want my opinion, an outside opinion. You want an outside expert opinion. First of all, great size, sizable guy, really big, stands head and shoulders above the rest of the ROH roster. But he's green. To my understanding is he's only been in the business a couple of years. So what does he need to do the most? I would say he needs lots and lots of matches, and preferably against people that are better than him. I think he's obviously in a place where he can do that in ROH. He's in a faction with Jay Lethal, so hopefully he's keeping his ears open and his mouth closed. But he is athletic, he is sizable, and I wouldn't be surprised if NXT doesn't come calling pretty soon after he gets a little bit more seasoning under his belt and comes calling, because he's got the kind of size that Vince would truly appreciate on his roster.
That's a great diplomatic answer. I can tell you've been listening to JR and Stone Cold.
Yeah, for real,
you,
huh?
He needs to get seasoned and have a few more matches.
You know what happened is when you don't get to take flat back bumps, you got to sit in the car virtually and just listen to podcasts. So you got to learn somehow. Can't fault a man for trying to better himself in this world. You might, but I wouldn't.
Okay. Moving on to the next one. What belt will Jay Lethal lose first? To who and why will it be the first belt he'll drop?
God dang, how many hairs are on his ass? I don't know. That's a lot of specific questions. Okay, he'll lose the TV title first. And to be honest, he ought to do it pretty soon, and I think that just helps. The TV title could be a prop for a different storyline and further other storylines. To who he loses it to? ROH has a lot of different guys that can win it, so you know it's really hard to pinpoint who might win that. I kind of thought it might be Kyle O'Reilly at one point, but it looks like they may be maybe into some sort of thing with him and Red Dragon with Adam Cole and that little action over there. So who wins the title off of him? Maybe a Briscoe, maybe Kyle O'Reilly, maybe Adam Cole. I don't know.
Oh, my God, you put me to sleep with that marathon answer. Next one. Staying in the House of Truth realm, if Doc wrote the Book of Truth, what are the titles of the first and last chapter and why?
Buck and you.
That's real classy.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm tired of answering motherfucking questions by some J-Brone. Now let's get started with the real show.
Dude, why do you treat... He's like the one of the most loyal listeners we have, and you have to act like a complete
asshole. Well, that's his problem.
Asshole. Jesus Christ, man. So anyway, he closes it by saying, just to drop a little knowledge on you, Doc.
Oh, boy. That's all he's got is a little knowledge.
He's actually pretty knowledgeable when he tweets me. All four Ring of Honor top prospect winners are from the Boston area, and two of them are current tag team champs. So anyway,
so are a whole bunch of racist motherfuckers. Boston's known for that. You gonna be proud about that too? Shit.
Jesus Christ, you just don't give two shits, do you? Damn.
Not particularly.
You know, see, like the difference between like Harper and I and you is like, we might have been heel. Well, Harper's still a heel, but like I might have been a heel, but at least I could appreciate the fans.
Yeah.
You just don't give two shits, dude.
We're Catholic.
That's right, man.
I don't have that problem.
Says the guy who's never taken
a bar. Not once. And never will. You can go, what was your kid's name down in Mississippi? Wanted me to drive down to Mississippi on a Sunday and bump and. In front of eight people on a Sunday afternoon in a pig pen or a barn or something. No thanks.
Jesus Christ. I
think
that's politics. What'd you say, Hopper?
I think I worked that show once before.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
Was there more than eight people there?
There was five.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. It wouldn't shock me, dude. I mean, I've worked in front of less than 10 people before. It's not too fun. Yeah, you just show up and you're like, holy crap. All right. Let me move right along. I can get past this. I mean, 10 minutes on Doc failing his pop quiz. THOG94, last thing he said, well, this is related to this week.
And why don't we just make him the guest this week? Shit.
Hey, man, he likes to – shut up. Tell hashtag Doc Turner I'll spot him at – I'll spot him 21 points and a bottle of lube for Sunday's game because he's going to need it. That was in reference to the Patriots raping that you just got taken for on Sunday. Doc. Comment. That's what I thought. At Sandman underscore
_1972. I think I noticed something last night. If you want to revive Randy Orton, put him in there with the New Day, and all of a sudden he's relevant again. Harper, did you watch most of Raw? Or
yeah, for the most part. It's Randy Orton. Gas be a heel, man. I mean, he's at that point where, you see, the thing is, he's at that point where he has nothing more to gain. He's done everything.
That's true.
I mean, what's he going to be, champion again?
That's true.
Right, so it's I think he would be a great heel just to help one of the younger guys get over. I mean, that's just my opinion, but I find them a hell of a lot more entertaining being a heel.
Yeah, I agree. I think unlike most, I guess you call them legends, as far as a heel goes, I think he can pull it off still. Because, like, you know, you reach legend status, like a Sting or even an Undertaker.
Yeah.
It's hard for those guys to be heels because they're so over, even if they heel.
Right.
It's like people don't buy into it. But I think with Orton, even though he's been around for a long time, I still think he could pull the heel roll off. I don't know, Doc, what do you think about that comment? As far as reviving Randy Orton, put him in there with the New Day, and it's all of a sudden he becomes relevant.
What the shit is that? Okay, so
wasn't Pac Man?
Nope, that was He Man. That's my ringtone.
God dang,
he freaking better.
God dang. Are we interrupting comic book time, Hamburger Helper? God dang. So, Randy Orton, he just. And I say this with a lot of respect. He just seems like a prick. So let's make him a heel and let him lean into it and heel out. He don't seem like the kind of guy who's everybody's best friend. Let him turn that volume up on it and go with it.
That might be one of the smartest things I've ever heard you say about professional wrestling, Doc. It really might be.
Thank you.
I applaud you. It's about goddamn time.
Let's virtually shake hands and call a truce.
No.
That's exactly no, right. Fuck you. Let's no. go back to the book no. of truth. My book of truth. Fucking you. Let's go.
No, thank you. Hey, before I forget, I do have to plug a show coming up on this coming Saturday. Is that the 17th? We got hey, Harper, you going with the Wildcat folks up to Henderson or no?
No.
Okay. Henderson, main event. I didn't want to forget about that. Main event pro wrestling is in Henderson, Texas. On Saturday, this coming Saturday. So I had it written down, and I didn't want to miss it. But I know, I think Luke's on it, and maybe
I know.
I don't know.
Luke's Who? On it. I think it's Buku Dao too, huh?
That's I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember. But I know it's coming up. And anybody, if you're listening, if you're mad at me because I'm not plugging your show. I don't have a great memory. Inbox it to me, and I will plug your show as long as it's not in Shittsville, USA.
And if you're mad at me for plugging your girlfriend, that's too bad. Now,
I had to say that because I'm tired of getting freaking heat about, oh, you don't talk about. Well, just fucking tell me. I can't remember everything. And the only reason I remember that is because I got it written down right in front of me.
Hey, hard buddy, are you not going because crossing the state lines is a parole violation?
Yeah, that's exactly why. What an asshole.
Okay, at Cordell Kevin, another famous listener of ours, if you could have any current WWE wrestler over to your house for dinner with you and your family, who is it? I'm not going to pick one. Give me Tyson Kidd and Natalya. Doc, what do you think?
With my family, that's the hard part. Because I was going to say Stephanie McMahon without.
Dang.
Jesus. I don't even want to ask what I'm afraid to ask Harper what he's thinking.
Yes, ma'am.
You're talking about a dude who ain't married. Harper. Hey, Harper, would it be dinner or Netflix and chill?
It would be Netflix and chill.
Why
and
do you have to
we'll
do
the horizontal mambo?
Why do you have to choose? Why can't you have dinner and then Netflix and chill? Come on.
Well, you could. I mean, it's all in one, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Doc, who's your answer? I'm still waiting.
I don't know, man. This is like, I don't know. Let's just say Vince.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I only deal with the top, man, the leadership.
Says the guy with the PhD. Why am I shocked? The prick with the PhD. Of course. I want to talk to Vince. What the frick ever? Harper, so have you decided who you'd have over?
I don't know. I think it'd be cool to hang out with Zack Ryder. I've always liked him.
I'm thinking you're going to tell me a woman. Give me that. Give me Zack.
Yeah, give me Zack Ryder, man. Fuck it.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, the Harper says Zack. Doc says Vince, because, you know, he's got to talk to the intelligence
people. Oh, I was going to say John Cena, but he'd probably kick out before the meal was finished.
Dude, did you watch that match with him and
Yes.
God.
We're gonna talk about it. I got a question to that. But it's funny, dude. Wait till you hear this question. Somebody sent in about it. It's really good. But yes, well, we can talk about that kickouts then. Last question from Cordell. How do you see James Storm fitting in NXT? Well, for one, it sounds like he's got the same Samoa Joe deal where he gets to use his name, James Storm. So I think they're going to use him, and I would kind of use him the way they're using Samoa Joe right now. Just, you know, keep him down there, helping out, I guess, the young folks, and eventually I see him moving up to the main roster. But we got another question related to former TNA people that are now in WWE as well. So I don't know, Doc, what do you think about James Storm in NXT?
Always liked James Storm, liked him when he was in Beer Money, before that even. Man, I thought that was the guy that TNA should have built their Southern wrestling promotion around, because he's got that Southern appeal. I think he'll fit in fine.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Next question from Steve-O, WWE fan. It was great to see Cesaro back on Raw. Do you think he stays a single wrestler or starts tagging with Tyson Kidd when he returns? Ah, God. I think he stays single at this point. Doc, what do you think?
I think whatever he does, he's not going to reach his true potential in WWE.
No.
Yeah. What do you think, Harper?
Yeah, it's a shame why he can – I don't know why they hold him back. Maybe he – I don't know, maybe because he don't have personality? Because he don't
– I think he's got more personality than what they show because –
yeah.
Like, he's on the network, that Table for Three thing right now with Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose. And he's not, like, spitting off, like, tons of personality. But when you hear him talk, the dude speaks well. I mean, I don't see why he, you know, couldn't go out there and cut a promo and be very entertaining. So, I don't know. It might be what Doc said last week. He's supposedly in hot water. Who freaking knows?
Well, bell to bell, he's my favorite wrestler on the roster.
Yeah.
I agree. He's one. Well, I won't say he's my favorite. I mean, I think Kevin Owens right now is my favorite.
He's my second, so there you go.
But I agree.
Oh, it's like him and Dolph.
You like Cesaro and Dolph together?
Yeah. I mean, they've always been my two guys that if they're on, I stop what I'm doing to watch them work.
Well, Dolph's another one that's probably deserves more of a push than what he's...
I mean, people forget that he was once a world champion. Dolph Ziggler.
He's just real talented. I kind of wonder. Actually, I got a question I'm about to go to in a second related to him and the whole Cena deal. There's a Facebook question we're going to get to in a minute, so I'm going to keep moving, man, and we can touch on that because I kind of hope they would involve him with something with Cena, but I don't think they will at this point. But all right, next question from Kyra16. He says, I have to say, still work to do. This is related to Raw being not so great, but that Roman Reigns promo shows so much growth from suffering succotash. Now if they can just get Brie off TV and let Sasha free. I think what this guy's saying as far as the Sasha free part, They're actually leaning into it now based on what I saw last night. They know the people want Sasha, and that's why they made Brie get on the freaking table and chant that we want Sasha stuff. They're leaning into it. They're, like, just screwing with the fans now, which I actually like that. Doc, what do you think?
Yeah, and I think there's nothing wrong with a slow build that ends with Sasha and Charlotte whooping it up at WrestleMania next year for the first time.
Yep. People forget that though. They don't. They want the quick payoff. The people now, they don't have patience, man, for angles, dude.
Yeah. They don't want to see it build. They want to, you know, just turn it on and it's gonna be right there.
Yeah, man, you know, let that crap build. And I think actually that's what they might be doing. I mean, let it play out. I want to see it, but I think that's what they might be doing with that deal. I really do. Listen to this guy's name, at Tai Chi Mag. How awesome would it have been, but he sent in a good question. How awesome would it have been if CM Punk would have come out during the John Cena Open Challenge? Harper, I'll throw that at you.
Oh, God, the place would have exploded. The roof would have came off the place.
The building would have collapsed.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't have been able to, that would have been one of those moments to when you're watching it and the screen is shaking because the camera would be shaking. I mean,
right.
That would have
not
been
from him shaking, just from the stadium.
Right,
shaking.
Right. God, that would have been awesome, huh? But I mean,
great.
I mean, he's at the Cubs game right now.
I swear to God, I saw Colt Cabana in the stands earlier.
Yeah, it's him and Colt Cabana.
They really are at the Cubs game right now.
I don't know.
Oh, they were? Yeah.
So, Doc, hey, how awesome would it have been? I mean, what would have...
It'd be awesome if clouds gathered over my head and rained down dollar bills, too, but it ain't going to happen, so I'm not going to spend any time worried about it.
You just can't be...
No, I can't. These questions are a waste of time. It ain't going to happen. Let's talk about some real fake wrestling.
What? All right. Buddy on Facebook.
Buddy Roberts, Buddy Rogers, Buddy Landale.
I already told you I only put the first name when I transferred over to
all those
my...
buddies I talked about were dead.
That's really, really classic.
Buddy Limbeck? Remember him?
I don't remember him.
From Charles in Charge?
God, yeah.
We didn't watch that in my neighborhood in New Orleans growing up, Papa. Charles in Charge wasn't on the list. I remember it, but I don't remember ever watching that program.
No.
I'm sorry. But no, Buddy's on Facebook and he's actually is a fan of ours and he's on our page and he says, when do Jay Lethal and AJ Styles get entered into the TNA World Title Tournament since Austin Aries is in it? Since you don't watch TNA, Harper, I'm going to throw this one at Doc because this one's got his name written all over it. This dude is trying to be funny.
He is funny. I like Buddy. Buddy, you are the model now for everybody. Cordell and Thog, all you guys to write in good, funny, comical questions. Because this week did it for me. I put up with Vader's fat ass on there pulling down his T-shirt to do his little Vader bomb. I put up with terrible booking. I put up with the James Storms' revolution. But this week ended my TNA watching because they rolled out Austin Aries at 4 weeks after he lost his career, loser leaves town, to Rockstar Spud. So Bram's in it. He's... was my favorite, but he can't keep his hands off women. He's in the tournament. Aries is, and they're all filmed from back in July, but Jesus Christ, how far back are we using tape? Lethal and Styles may sneak into this tournament. This tournament's stupid anyway. One of the blocks is all females, and there's nothing wrong with that except what are they going to do? Win the men's title?
I actually had a revelation when I was driving home today about this whole tournament that I do want to give them credit on for one thing. They filmed this stuff at the last set of tapings
in July, right?
Hold on,
is that old?
I guess they didn't, who knows, maybe they knew all along that they were going to do this since they didn't have TV taping scheduled in October after that pay-per-view they just had two Sundays ago. But they filmed all this. And you're complaining about it, but think about one question, Doc. Who's going to – even though they already recorded it and the way they did it, we don't know who's going to win the title. Okay, hold on. Let me talk. I'll let you spew your shit. So, actually, that's half – I give them a little bit of credit for that part of it. Now, I agree.
They got a couple of people in this tournament who haven't been with the company in 2 months. So that's the part that is kind of like, wait, they're not going to win.
If they're so smart to figure all this out, how come they can't be smarter and book a little bit more interesting television?
Oh, because you know how to book a territory. You've run your own promotion before, right? Of course.
No,
yeah,
I was. You know what? I was cricket. Too busy doing. I was too busy taking flat back bumps. Well, I could run my own goddamn wrestling promotion.
I never ran my own promotion.
And
I'm just saying.
And that's why every Wednesday night.
Some of us have actually hit the highways and the pavement and actually gotten a ring and done a few things, albeit in indie promotions and not the big time. But, you know, you got it all figured out. Why don't you just go buy a freaking ring for $5,000 and start your own shit?
Hey, every Wednesday night, hard buddy, I get a string of text messages from me and Mike Mills. Fuck TNA. This is some bullshit. Can't believe we have to watch this. These bullshit fans.
I do not believe that. Now you're Roman Reigns. Believe that. Okay.
Believe that, sucker.
I'm going to beat you up. Yeah. Suffering succotash.
Demetrius on Facebook. Hadn't tuned into the podcast in a few weeks. Finally caught up after listening to the Michael Tarver interviews, which was spectacular. Here's some unsolicited feedback. Hardbody Harper is a good addition to the show. And Doc Turner needs to listen to Mike and Harper and sit back and learn what they call shut the fuck up. Demetrius, I love you, man.
Nah,
you're great.
Demetrius, you watch out, pal. You got a tough sound.
This dude said, and Doc Turner needs to listen to Mike and Harper and sit back and learn to shut what they call the fuck up.
He ain't nobody's boss. He needs to.
He gotta be from New Orleans saying that shit like that. That's like one of them New Orleans things, man.
He
I'm telling you, that's.
Then he
needs to go. Dude, it really is. It really is.
He needs to go board up his windows and get ready for the next hurricane and leave me to fuck alone.
Yes, see, me and you gonna go to blows over it. You gonna stop making Hurricane Katrina references on this program.
Hey,
this is a fine podcast that you throw around some bullcrap type commentary on related to Hurricane Katrina, asshole.
Here's a question. Earlier I heard that the Saints are back to pre-Katrina levels. Would you take another Katrina to have your football team be better?
No.
Okay.
No.
That sucks.
God, for a guy with a freaking PhD.
It was just a little shower.
Where'd you get the goddamn PhD from? The Cracker Jack?
Just a couple of thunderstorms, that's all.
A couple of thunderstorms. Moving right along. Landon on Facebook. Jack Swagger was a lumberjack last night on Raw.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that? I like Swagger.
Yeah.
What does he do all day if he isn't ever on TV? Oh, God.
He just sits in the back and in case something happens.
Gets a paycheck.
Just in a corner in a rocking chair just whittling something.
Dude, he probably shows up every Monday and he gets paid. Good for him. I'm happy for him. But Landon goes further and says, wouldn't his We the People thing be a great gimmick with Donald Trump in the headlines? Harper, what you think about that, man? That actually was a great gimmick. That whole We the People is over.
Yeah, because you remember, he started off as a heel doing that.
Right.
And then he went with Rusev, and then he became a face.
Yeah,
and I felt like I was in 1985 again, screaming at the freaking Iron Sheik or something.
They turn. Doc and I actually talked about this a while back when they were doing that, the whole We the People thing.
Yeah.
If you noticed, it started off as kind of like, you know, well, it didn't kind of, they were heels. And then all of a sudden, like when Zeb Coulter was, you know, yelling at you people stuff hey, anybody listening, this is not me. I'm just explaining what's happening. I don't want hate mail. He was like, you Mexican people, you need to go back across. All of a sudden, like, did you see how the people started, like, cheering? I was like, whoa. They leaned into it. I swear to this day, that's why they cut that gimmick off.
Never discount how many racist sons of bitches there are out there.
Oh, my God.
Leave the Mexicans alone.
Hey, I agree. Last time you went to Raw, Mike, what was it, February? It was Black History Month?
No, it was in January. It was MLK Day.
And what happened?
Oh shit. Like this is the God honest truth. Before the show started, they're on the big screen in the arena, they're showing all these prominent
African American leaders from the past, like, you know, Martin Luther King, and just any African American leader that ever did anything great in this country, they're showing them. And, you know, the crowd's all cheering, right, Harper? Everybody they show, they're cheering. Dude, the picture of Barack Obama came up.
Oh, God.
he got more heat than anybody in the arena that night. Like, you should have heard the boos raining down from the crowd. Man, my wife looked at me and she was like, we need to go home. She was like, they're about to riot in here. And, like, the boos were crazy. Man, I swear, I was like, yeah, I'm at a wrestling match.
Harper, hit your tagline.
That's real classy.
Thank you.
Hey, look, man, I this show ain't a political show.
Where was it at? In New Orleans?
This was in Dallas. This is at the Dallas Arena. But, you know, like, Texas is a Republican state, so...
Yeah, they're real conservative.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you show a picture of Barack Obama. Dude, I started laughing. And I texted Doc right away. I'm like, dude, they just showed a picture of the president. And I thought this place was about to come unglued. It was insane. It was crazy how crazy it got. All right. Let me get back on track because we started running short on time. Here's your thing of Harper related to Ziggler and Cena about the kicking out. So we can address it here. AC on Facebook says, after Cena beat Ziggler, should Cena kicking out of finishers and hitting the AA out of nowhere?
Yeah,
now,
God, bro.
Oh, listen to this. Should Cena kicking out of finishers and hitting the AA out of nowhere now be called putting a baby in you?
That guy wins the week. He's the best listener we got. We should give him a participation trophy.
To anybody listening to this, Doc, you want to explain to them what that means, putting a baby in you?
So it's been our running gag that Nikki Bello is going, John, this is some bullshit. I want to have a baby with you. And John Cena smells that work from a mile away and says, oh, hell no. So on Total Divas, Hamburger Helper and I were led to believe by Mean Mike Mills that Ziggler came out on Total Divas and said, you know, I could give you a baby.
And it wasn't led to believe that he said, I'll get married. I'll give you kids.
I'll fertilize that egg.
Oh, he did everything, but
all Cena
bends her over and starts stabbing.
All Cena's doing is saying, we can have a kid if the small of your back learns how to fertilize an egg. But anyway.
What?
That was just.
Sponsors love that.
The sponsors can get in line.
We'll hate that.
So,
God.
So, and the other backstory we gleaned from Total Divas last week from Mean Mike was that Ziggler and Nikki dated in real life. He must have got that out of his Old People magazine subscription. But anyway, so that happens last week, and next Monday night, guess who answers the challenge? Was it CM Punk? No, it was Dolph Ziggler. And Cena he did everything but wag his finger and hulk up at Ziggler at the end. God dang.
Yeah.
Harper, how many times did he kick out?
Like, dude, I love that spot when he did the DDT from the second rope.
Yeah,
awesome. Then it's like, but he's Ziggler,
Didn't Ziggler do a frog splash and like almost hit his head on the lights and shit and just kick out?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's and, like, what, after, you got? What, you got to run him over with a damn truck or something? He's like the Terminator. You think he's dead? Wrong.
And one of those moves, he just kicked out, popped up, put the AA on, and pinned his ass.
He did at the very end.
Yeah.
But hey, no, Harper, like for real, dude. It's like that dude's like Jason from Friday the 13th.
You can just pump a couple of rounds into him, chop his head off. Wrong.
He just gets back up and keeps up, dude. In all seriousness, though, AC, it actually was a good match. I mean, I just think we all need to come to a realization that false finishes, 100 of them in a match, are like just the way it is.
Yeah, that's
now.
How it is now. And
now,
I mean, I see it on the indies. It's not just WWE. And see, the thing is, WWE does that,
the indies, 99% of the indies are going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Because they're then trying to be WWE. It just never fails. So basically then you start raising a whole generation of wrestlers that are going to do the same thing they sing on WWE every Monday night.
And now I can't wait till the next Monday night to see who Cena puts a baby in.
Let's stick to the Dolphin John Cena questions, because Kenneth on Facebook says, I'm sure Mike is loving this Dolph Ziggler and John Cena feud. Well,
feud.
You know,
they had one match.
They had one match, but thank you, Kenneth.
Way to go, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, but hold on. He says, I'm sure Mike is loving this Dolph Ziggler and John Cena feud, especially since the feud started on his favorite TV show, Total Bimbos.
Way to come back.
Anyway, man, any man who watches Total Bimbos is not much of a man to me. I resent that, Kenneth.
What a dick.
Kenneth,
I'm a man.
Kenneth, you should meet Mike in the flesh, because well, I'm sure you'd probably like to, but you pretty much nailed that one right on the square on the head there, brother.
I love these keyboard warriors, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But hey, Kenneth, man, we enjoy having you listen to the show weekly. It's a pleasure to get your solicited opinion, because I do say, hey, send it in and we will cover it. But anyway,
Kenneth, as soon as we hang up, he's gonna go that goddamn Mark Kenneth,
block his ass.
Block. I have not blocked anyone on Twitter or Facebook.
Whatever, bro. Yet.
I have not blocked anyone. Not one person has been blocked. I don't care. I mean, whatever.
And hey, man, it's a free
shit.
Country. You want to be a dumbass? Go right ahead.
You say whatever you. I mean, that'd be kind of like, you know, like, okay, Harper, you get heat when you walk to the ring, you know, at shows. So you're gonna block the person and tell them they can't come back? No, I ain't gonna do that. If you want to be a freaking prick in the audience, have fun, knock yourself out, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm a prick every week. I keep getting called back.
You're actually halfway entertaining. That's the only reason why I keep bringing you back. Otherwise, you'd have got the axe a long time ago. Yeah, I mean, you got it. Dude, here's the thing. In a wrestling promotion, I treat this podcast almost the same way. There's guys that only make, like, you know, X amount of dollars, the lower end of the tier, and there's the guys who are freaking, you know, like when you bring in, like, a Brian Kendrick or a big-name person, or Christopher Daniels type guy, you know, with a name, they get the top dollar. Doc, you're the guy at the lower rung. You actually ain't even getting paid. But anyway, so yeah, you see my comparison.
Not really.
That's why we keep Doc around. Hey, we got a couple more questions before we get out of here tonight. All right, who else am I on? Jesus. Willie on Facebook.
Willie? Whose name is Willie?
I guess it's William, but he must on
Willie.
Facebook. Willie.
God.
Willie. What's that name? Willie.
What's up,
whoa!
Dog?
Well, God, that sounds racist.
Oh, God, come on. Really, Doc? Willie, so what happens to the Ziggler-Rusev, to the Ziggler-Rusev? This guy can't type. So what happens to Ziggler and Rusev now that they showed that Rusev and Lana are engaged in real life? Let me take that one first. Nothing happens. Doc, your turn.
Real life? What do you mean? I thought this was all real.
Harper, you got any thoughts about that? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? I mean, who...
yeah, that's what
I mean, what's that got to do with?
What's that got to do about anything, right?
Me.
Yeah.
Girl. Oh my God,
what
have
it, Marion?
I don't care about that. Just stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway,
way to go, Willie. There was your 30 seconds of fame. Now get to stepping.
Willie.
That's real.
Willie.
Willie, go sit down.
Willie, why don't you sit this one out and let the grown folks handle it?
Are y'all done bagging on Willie?
Willie.
This guy, Willie.
Willie, please. Willie. This is Willie.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Stan on Facebook says, that's a normal name, isn't that
Stan
one?
Lane?
I don't know, man. What do you think about Kevin Owens winning the Rumble next year and being the main event at WrestleMania against Brock? Harper, what do you think about that?
That'd be, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah,
I'm good with that. Doc, what do you think?
That'd be fine with me, but I wait for John Cena to win the Rumble. He'll throw out all 29 men. Okay. He'll take 29 different finishers, pop up, and throw them out of the ring.
Wait, it's a Rumble, right, where you got to go over the top rope,
yeah,
right?
I would love to see someone.
Hold on. Dude. He's going to kick out over the. He's going to kick out as he's going over the top rope. Go ahead, Harper.
I would love to see someone win the Rumble that you so unexpectedly, because the whole thing is it's supposed to be anyone can win it.
Yeah.
And it's every man for himself. And I would love to be surprised one year.
I agree. I wish they would do that. You know why? And I don't care that it would piss off the WWE universe. So what? Give it to somebody who, like you said, is completely unexpected. And just think about, like, how people would react.
Yeah.
They'd be in an uproar, but I guarantee it.
They'll never do it because it's tied to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And WrestleMania is – how WrestleMania goes – is how the stock price goes, and that means that's how everything goes. I agree, though.
Corporate.
I'm just trying to tell you how business works.
And we really need you on this show to do that, because Harper and I are just two dumbasses, right?
Yeah.
Too busy taking flat back bumps to be able to count the dollars.
Prick.
If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
Okay. Something you could never do. Take a fat back bump. Oh, Jesus. Hey, we got one more. Julio on Facebook.
Julio Franco, Julio Jones.
Julio says, what do you guys think about the TNA World Title Series that started last week? Doc covered that already. You don't like it, Doc?
I quit TNA.
No? You really did? You're not going to watch it anymore?
As soon as my Texas Rangers get eliminated tomorrow, I'm going to sign up for the network and start watching NXT.
There you go.
Because they seem to, like, you know, want to put out a good product. And, hell, they steal half of TNA's roster and do shit with them. So there you go.
Pretty much.
Hey, at some point, here's the thing. I don't know why last week did it. I can't explain why that was the breaking point. But you've had the Dudleys. You've had the Hardys. You've had Ric Flair. You've had Hulk Hogan. You've had Sting. You've had all the talent like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, James Storm, Bobby Roode, and you can't get it right. At some point, it ain't the talent, son. It's you.
Yeah, for real.
You got everybody.
Everybody.
You've had Christian. You've had Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle.
You've had stars from the past. Booker T. You've had stars from the past. You've had the stars of today. Up-and-coming talent, high flyers, Kevin Nash even, God dang. So I'm saying at some point, everybody else can make money with them but you. Grab a mirror.
Yeah, they've had everybody. Like, literally, we went down a list. Remember that time we were, like, going down a list of all the talents that have been there? It's
staggering.
It's incredible, man. Like, they've had everybody except for people on the indies that are, like, actually talented that you've just never heard of because they haven't been on TV.
And Triple
H. Other than that, they've had everybody. They had Okada, dude. They had Okada.
Nakamura went in for a show or two.
Dude, the amount of talent that they've had, you could have started four promotions with, which is crazy. But Harper doesn't watch TV.
We still got a free.
We
still got a free Bobby Roode and Eric Young out of there, and then they can close it on down.
I'm a big Eric Young fan. God, that guy has money. I firmly believe it. He's just such a great heel. Anyway, we got to get up out of here tonight. So, once again, thanks to sponsors for sponsoring the show, helping us bring in a little bit of money. That the Booker takes. hey, follow us on Twitter, like I said, @BTT_podcast, @Mike504Saints. Harper's going to get on Twitter. He's @CJH. Who dat? He's going to get on there. Doc Turner says he does not. He's going to get on there. Dude, you got a million tweets waiting for you at this point. Man,
probably so.
Doc Turner, I tried to talk him into Twitter. He told me, no thanks, I don't do social media because it makes me mentally irregular.
I just don't have time to deal with all you idiots.
You're an ass, man.
For real.
Anyway, like I said, y'all check out that main event card featuring the likes of Byron Wilcott, Big Daddy Yum Yum, Luke Hawks. I don't know if Buku Dao's on it. I can't remember.
I don't
remember.
Think he is, because I looked at the poster and I didn't see him on there, so okay. I could be wrong.
Is King Kong Bundy going to be there?
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah, sign me up.
You really? Hey, really? Okay. I can't remember who else is going to. Houston Carson is going to be there, I think. Trying to remember who else is on that card.
The Indian
anyway.
Guy. What was his name?
Oh, yeah. He's Roger Singh.
Yeah.
Barbie Hyde is going to be there. So y'all check that out on October 17th. We're going to talk more about the Wildcat shows coming up on the 14th. And like I said, if anybody's listening to this, and I'm not plugging your stuff, it ain't that I'm hating. It's just that I don't have greatest memory, and I can't remember everything unless it's sitting right in front of me. So I'll plug your stuff as long as you tell me about it. Got it? I appreciate it. So I ain't got nothing else, man. Harper, you got anything before we get out of here?
No. That's just the Wildcat show is November 14th.
Doc, what you got, man, before we get out of here? Any kind parting words for our worldwide listeners, all 5,300 of them that we have on Facebook as of today, October the 13th?
No.
You're just a bundle of joy, brother. That's
all
I can say.
As always.
I can tell. And don't forget, rate us. Give us a rating on iTunes. We'd appreciate it, man. Even if you don't like Doc, show some love to me and Hardbody Harper. So,
yeah.
For Mike, Doc, and Hardbody Harper, we appreciate you tuning in. Until next week, book it.